I just want to make one point, and I think it's obvious, that when we read in the scriptures that he was perfect, perfect in his generation, it doesn't mean that he had no flaws. I think that, you know, that's very obvious even in the definition we have. I think that's important. Because if a person reads this and thinks that, you know, I have to be perfect, you get very discouraged. Because you soon find out that, you know, you're just not. So I just thought I'd make that point, that obviously it does not mean, when we read in the Bible perfect in the context of man, I think we mean mature, if I'm not mistaken.
Just think of it. When Noah was building that ark, a few years, you know, how all the neighbors talked to him and about him. There's no water. What's he talking about? He's kind of nuts. What's the matter with him? Etc., 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 you know. But what was he doing? For one thing, doing the work of the Lord. And by it, reaching, no question, the Lord's righteousness, the Lord's grace and mercy. And it didn't just take a year. A long time.
You know that ark we use in preaching the gospel, and we need more preaching of the gospel. But when we use that ark as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ark is definitely a place of safety because the animals were delivered. Mm-hmm. Noah and his family were delivered from the flood. So there's no question about the fact that the ark is a picture of safety, of deliverance. It was pitched inside and out with that pitch, which is the Hebrew word I'm told is atonement. It's used elsewhere for atonement. That which partakes of the blood, pictures of the blood of the Christ. But this might be an encouragement. Noah only delivered his family, not the world. The ark was not big enough for the world. As I said, we often use this in preaching the gospel, and rightly so, as an illustration, a place of deliverance. You can go there for deliverance. And yet, the purpose for the ark was not to deliver the whole race of man. There certainly wasn't room for all of mankind. Their judgment and doom was sealed before that. This was for the purpose of delivering his family. Because the New Testament says he built an ark for the saving of his family. And so what an encouragement there is to us when we see smallness. And it may just be that our little testimony, our little company of believers, is our family. But that's an encouragement. Because God is in it. Even though it may be a small number, only, it says in Peter, only 8 souls. But that was something that could be encouraged. At least there were 8 that were delivered. And so just I think it's an understandable thing.
A comment I would just like to add, this is just as an aside. I've been impressed upon recently that God is interested in families. It seems I'm seeing it all over the scriptures, that God is really saving households in Acts. I've said it to the local assembly in Acts, you can see that. The other thing too is that even though he was, his family was saved, yet the testimony he gave was to the wider community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was, as it were, preaching to the wider community, mm-hmm. but it seems as if it had an impact specifically upon mm-hmm. his household.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, but it's not only his family that was saved. Right. His 3 daughter-in-laws were not his family. They became his family. Mm-hmm. And them being saved was a witness to their family, their family. So the witness went out to the world, but not only his family got saved.
It's noted that in the context of the verses, each time, not only is Noah mentioned, but his 3 sons. For example, at the end of chapter 5, the last verse there, and then also in verse 10, that God seems to be emphasizing this family, as we've been emphasizing just now.
I was just going to add... We were talking about a preacher before. Noah was not a preacher with words. Mm-hmm. If you look at this portion, you don't find Noah speaking at all. And at the end of the portion, you find that he simply was obedient. And we know from 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 15, part of that verse tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. We should walk the talk. You know, our testimony is not just what we know of Scripture. That's very important. And the fact that we are saved is all important. But our conduct, our behavior, our walk is a greater testimony than the words that come out of my mouth. So it's important to know that, because our children watch us. Make no mistake about that. They watch us. And children tend to follow some of the actions of their parents. Sad to say, some of those actions are not as they should be. But God is merciful, and he will save those that will turn to him in faith. There's no question about that. But you and I, who are mature in the Lord, we have a responsibility to walk according to the Scriptures. Walking with God means that, doesn't it? Walking according to the Scriptures. But I can't walk according to something if I don't know them. And this is another sad thing about the world around us. There is less study of the Scriptures today. We have to confess that. Perhaps even on my part, there is less study of the Scriptures, and more study is needed. But not just study, but our walk, our conduct, our behavior is all important in the sight of the Lord.
That's interesting you bring that up, because I had been listening here, and as Brother Sam brought up, God is interested in families. He was back in Noah's time, obviously. He still is. But Satan is interested in families, the destruction of families. And this obedience, we who are more mature, if you will, some here are more mature than others, some not as much. We're on different levels. We're being perfected as we go along. We are very responsible to the Lord and to those about us to walk in that level where the Lord has brought us to. And we may know a lot of scriptures to be able to tell everybody where they're not living up to the scriptures. But are we living up to what we're preaching and what we're telling them they need to do? We're pretty good at telling others what they need to do. That's Satan's word, really. We need to live up to what God has told us to do, and let that be a testimony, because it's fine to speak, it's good to speak, but I think that we need to be obedient to what we know of the Scriptures. And today's busyness, Satan has turned this world into real busyness, which seems to be a practical necessity to take us from studying the Scriptures. And so we who are being, or should be being perfected, are we allowing leanness to come in to ourselves, souls, to ourselves? If you understand what I'm trying to get at, most of us, if not all of us, are saved here, and we're studying, the difference between sin, if you will, and uprightness in Christ. We all know to some degree, but are we walking in and desiring to walk more in that we should know, or are we letting Satan and the world come into amongst us so that we are not the witness that God would want us to be. Noah was in awful situation. And he stood up. He didn't talk a lot. He talked very little, I guess, because it doesn't have it in Scripture. But he did what he knew he was supposed to do. And do we do what we know God tells us to do? I believe we know. I believe any one of us know. But I want to search my heart tomorrow about something today, the Lord can tell me, you should not have been there, or you should have been there. We know. But do we respond to that that God tells us through the Spirit? And do we desire to come up another level, not humanly speaking, but in God's school, if you will, of teaching us and then being able to practically apply it?